the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of our lives. Amen. So this year, the gospel text we're focusing on is the book of Mark. And the first words of Jesus in the book of Mark are, "This is a Kairos moment." This is God's time. Kairos means this is God's time. This is the inbreaking of God's time into the world. So he says, "This is a Kairos moment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent." Or what he says is metanoia. Turn. Change your direction. And believe in this good news. That's the first thing Jesus says in his ministry in the book of Mark. It's this very bold proclamation of, okay, the kingdom of God is here and things are going to change. Turn, become a part of it, right? Let yourself, go with the flow, change your direction, become a part of this thing and believe in this good news. And then the first things he starts doing in chapter 1 and 2 is he starts healing. He starts healing people. He starts casting out demons, which is another way of saying he starts setting people free of the things that bind them, of the things that possess them. It could be all kinds of manner of things. Emotions of resentment and contempt. It could be, addictions to substances or to the processes or, whatever we're addicted to consumption. Of the things we tell about ourselves, the voices of accusation that tell us we're not good enough, that we're not worthy enough, that we're not lovable. Jesus comes on the scene and he says, "Your sins are forgiven. Believe in this good news." And then, he and his disciples are walking in through the grain fields on the Sabbath and they're plucking things and the Pharisees are like, you're working on the Sabbath, you shouldn't be doing that. And Jesus says, "Well, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." We talked about this last week. And then there he's in a synagogue and they bring to him and he sees a man with a withered hand, a man who cannot work. And Jesus asked the Pharisees, "Is it okay for us to heal and give life on the Sabbath?" And there's this stony silence. And he asks again, is it okay for us to heal on the Sabbath and bring about new life? And there's this stony silence. They're pissed at him. They're mad at him. He says, "Is it okay to heal on the Sabbath?" And Mark says he's grieved in his heart. He's grieved that they don't get it. He's grieved that they've misunderstood that God created the Sabbath as a day of rest, as a day of joy, as a day of relaxing in the goodness of creation, and as a day of freedom. Because God says, "I remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, for you were once slaves in Egypt, and now you have been set free." It's all about freedom. It's all about being set free. And so, and all of these things are of a piece. The Sabbath, healing, demons, saying your sins are forgiven. And so today's gospel text, he comes home and he's sitting there and there's such a crowd gathering around the house that he can't even eat. And his family comes to do an intervention because they think he's crazy. They think he's out of his mind. They think he's beside himself. They said, they're like, this is not who we raised you to be, right? I mean, this is beyond their expectations. They really do think he's crazy. It's an interesting text. And they try to do this intervention and rescue Jesus from himself and take him home. And he doesn't come home. And then the scribes are in town and they've heard his confrontation with the Pharisees and what he's been doing on the Sabbath. He's been setting people free on the Sabbath. And so they come to check him out. And they say, he has a demon. It is by Beelzebul that he casts out demons. Beelzebul is a prince of demons, the lord of the flies. And they're saying, that's the only way we can explain it. His family says he's mad. The scribes say he's possessed. And Jesus is like, seriously? How could Satan cast out Satan? How could a kingdom divided against itself stand, or a house divided against itself stand? Like, if Satan did that, his kingdom would fall apart. Actually, no, don't you know that if you're going to plunder a strong man's house, you bind up the strong man first, and then you plunder his house? This is Jesus' first parable in the book of Mark, and I've never understood that till this week, and I realized, oh, Jesus is saying, I am the strong man who plunders the house of demons. No wonder his family thought he was mad. Right? No wonder they thought he was crazy. I am the strong man who plunders the house of demons and sets people free and forgives them of their sins and brings about healing. These religious leaders have no way of dealing with that. And Jesus says, you know what? Your sins are forgiven, and you can blaspheme whatever. You're forgiven of all your blasphemies, but don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, because that's an eternal sin. And ever since then, people are wondering, okay, what does that mean? I mean, I thought God forgave all sins. What does it mean to commit an unforgivable sin? What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? And it's left Christians throughout the generations worried and concerned that they have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and now they're going to hell forever in eternity. And the irony is, if you're worried about having blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because blaspheme is a total, to blaspheme is to have contempt and denial and rejection of something that is good and holy. It is to call a Holy Spirit an unholy spirit. It is to act as if the Spirit of God is unholy. And then I don't think that's a curse. It's just a pragmatic assessment that, like actually, if there is a strong man who has come to set you free, and you say, no, I don't want to, I reject you in the name of, you know, Jesus, whatever, you know, that, and yet that is indeed your salvation, you're stuck in a bind. You can't get out. You have to turn and stop, you have to repent, actually. You have to turn your direction and stop calling a Holy Spirit an unholy spirit in order to go with the flow and be free. I mean, if you want to remain stuck in your pattern, you will remain stuck in your pattern. If you want to cling to those things that possess you, they will possess you, and they will continue to possess you. But if you want to be free, the kingdom of God is at hand. You can turn and believe in the good news. Jesus is gathered again with his disciples, and he's teaching, and again his mother and his brothers and his sisters are knocking on the door, and they want him. And they're saying, come out. Like, they haven't given up. They're still trying to do their intervention. And Jesus says, they still think he's crazy. And he says, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? It's the people who do the will of God. It's the people who get it. It's the people who are part of this flow, of this path, who understand the good news, who are my mother, my brother, and my sisters. Amen.